Bible, if you will. Get your Bible, if you will. I hope you brought your Bible tonight. And if you have, then turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. If you didn't bring it, I'm going to read you mine so you can trust me, okay? I got the right kind of Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to 1 John in a minute. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to talk to you about something for just a few minutes. I don't have much time. And it's prayer meeting night. We did our praying. Now we're going to do our Bible study. And I try to teach things on Wednesday night, a little different than preaching sometimes. So I want to teach you something tonight about how Satan turns people away from the church. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I'm sorry, we'll start with verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary," that's your enemy, your adversary, "the devil." It ain't your wife. It's not your kids. Not your husband. It ain't the pastor. It's the devil. "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." In other words, not unusual, you being attacked. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, there is no doubt, as a Christian, God hates Christians. There's no doubt. I mean, the devil hates Christians, not God. He's the God of this world. There's no doubt that the God of this world, the devil, hates Christians. But he also hates the church. And he hates the church in a special way. And he'll do anything he can to stop you or anybody else as a child of God from attending regularly a Bible preaching, Bible teaching church. Now, he doesn't matter if you go over there where they have dramas every week. He don't matter if you go over there where they have a cantata every week. He doesn't matter. He's not so much worried about that, you know, where they have the creative dancing and all that stuff, and the mimes and all that stuff. But to get you out of a Bible preaching, Bible believing, Bible teaching church, he will do a lot of things to get you out. He'll do it. And there's no doubt. But he knows he can't destroy the church. He can't destroy the church because Jesus owns the church. He paid for it with his own blood. He went down there and took the keys away from the devil. And now he's in charge. And you can't, he can't overcome the Lord, but he can overcome individuals within the local church. Now, I'm not talking about some big invisible body out there that Joel Osteen and all that other crowd talks about. I'm talking about a local church where people go and they sit in a pew every Sunday and they try to serve the Lord and live for the Lord through that local church. That's the people that the devil will attack to get them out of church. And it shocks you how many people I talk to and they say, "Well, I watch TV on Sunday." That's not the church. I don't care what you say, that's not the church. There's still some good guys left on TV, one or two. But most of them not even worth watching. But the point is, that's not the church. And that gets them out of church, see. And when you get somebody out of church, it's like taking a flaming ember out of the fire and setting it over on the side. By itself, it's going to go out. And it can watch all TV shows it wants to. It's going to go out. It needs to be back over there with the other fire. Amen. where others can encourage them and strengthen them and admonish them and sometimes fuss at them, you know, and love them. And people come here and they say, well, I ain't never had my neck hugged so many times in my life. Came down there and everybody in there hugged my neck, you know, and everybody in there was shaking my hand. Well, but you need that. And look, the devil knows that. So I got to thinking, there's a number of ways that number of things and ways that Satan uses to get people out of the local church. Now, if you're not in church regularly, I'm not fussing at you. I'm trying to help you, okay? I'm not against you. I'm for you. We had some folks get mad at me Sunday and get up and walk out of here during my preaching mad at me because of something I said about Walmart. And I said, look here, they don't know me. If they knew me, they'd know I wasn't being mean. They said I was being judgmental. If they knew me, they'd know I wasn't judging those people at Walmart. Most of them lost and going to hell if at Walmart on Sunday morning, not church anyway. But I wasn't judging them. All I was saying was I was judging the way they act and look, which is worldly and carnal and not virtuous and not holy. But see, the devil will do anything he can to get you out of church. And look, if that's all it takes, that's what he'll give you. But I want to show you some good reasons, some good ways that I think he uses. Number one, by causing you to forget. If he can make you forgetful of where you come from, he can get you out of church. Now, Preacher Jerry, Christianity, and you and Brother Ron know this, Christianity is just like anything else. You can get accustomed to it. You can get used to it, and it'll become old hat, and pretty soon you'll forget that it wasn't always like that, and you'll forget where he brought you out of, and then you'll forget God's forgiveness. And you'll forget God's faithfulness. And you'll forget God's forbearance toward us. And as much as we deserved hell, he let us live anyway.
Thank you, Lord.
I was telling somebody from Lancaster the other day, everybody that I grew up with come under 3 L's. They were in jail, out on bail, or already in hell. I didn't know any good people. God rescued me. And he wants me to forget that, see. He wants me to forget that he's been faithful to me when I wasn't even faithful to him. He was still faithful to me. Amen. Amen. He wants us to forget his favor, that he has highly favored us. Now, I got some poor stories. My wife and kids tell me, they said, don't tell those stories. They're sad and they make people cry. I said, they make me cry. My growing up stories makes me cry. I mean, but I look at me now and I think, man, God's favored me.
Yes, Lord.
As hard a life as some of us has had, and as bad as we lived and as wicked as we were, and God saved us and keeps us, and now he favors us and he takes care of us and he supplies our needs and he blesses us. Even when we're not faithful, he's still faithful and favors us anyway. Amen. And then he wants you to forget his finished work at Calvary. What he wants you to do, some people, now some's going to get out because they forget all these things, but some's going to get out because they're going to forget that he paid it all on Calvary and you ain't got to do a stinking thing. All you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's all on him. And a lot of people, they'll forget that Jesus finished the work and they'll fall somewhere. You know what I mean by fall? They'll fall into sin. And then they'll say, oh no, I'm lost again. Oh no, God ain't never going to forgive that. I've done committed unpardonable sin. God ain't never going to forgive that. Oh, I'm in a mess now. See, that's the devil telling you that you got to do something to stay saved. Let me just go ahead and shock you right now. You wasn't worth saving in the first place. And I wasn't either. We were just dirty, rotten sinners. Oh, I'm pretty good. I did this, I did that. All our righteousness was this filthy rags. Because we did it for the wrong reason. The righteousness we did it for selfish reasons, self-righteousness. And God looks on that and says, man, compared to what I do, that's filth. And see, the devil wants you to forget that. And he wants you to forget that Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. You know how long eternal is? It never ends. It never ends. You say, but I sinned. Don't matter. He gave you eternal life. Now, you can repent of that and get that right, or you can get a whip and get it right. But you're going to live forever. You're going to live as long as God lives, because He gave you eternal life. And the devil wants you to forget that Jesus finished that work on Calvary, and there's not one thing you can do to make it any better, and there's not one thing you can do to keep it. It says, unto Him that's able to keep you and present you faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. It's all up to Him. It, as a believer, if you die and go to hell, they're going to have to air condition it. It's unto Him to get you to heaven. It ain't up to you. You say, well, that gives me a license to sin. Well, that tells me you might not be saved in the first place if you think that way. What it ought to make you think is, well, glory to God, He sure is good to me. And look, the devil will get you to forget about God's forgiveness. He'll cause you to forget about God's faithfulness and God's forbearance and God's favor. And he'll get you to forget about that the work is finished. And if you fall, you ask Him to forgive you, get back up and go on. It's finished. You can't do nothing to stay saved, because you can't do nothing to lose salvation. It's finished. It is finished. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Now, that's how the devil attacks people and gets them out of church. And then I thought about this. Forgetfulness will cause you to lose the wonder of it all. You remember when you first got saved? Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. I cried all day. I literally cried. I wept like a baby all day long. Why? Because I thought, God's been good to me. Sorry as I was, He saved me. He's going to keep me. He's going to take care of me. And that broke my heart. And I wept all day. And then I'd go to church, and I'd never heard the Bible. And the preacher would preach, and I said, whoa, I didn't know that was in there. And then I'd go to work. I had a Bible at work. I'd read that Bible, and I said, wow, I didn't know that was in there. And I'd ask people that claim to be Christians to read it at work. I said, you ever read that? They'd say, yeah, I've read that 1,000 times. I said, why ain't you told me that was in there? Man, look at that. And they just went, oh, well, I already knew that. You'll lose the wonder of it all. It's a wonderful thing to be saved and kept by the grace of God. And if you forget that, you're going to lose the wonder of it. And then church will be boring. It will be uninteresting. It will be offensive at times if you forget the wonder of your salvation, how much God loves you. And then I thought about this. He gets people out of church by causing them to fear. I looked it up. Now, I'm not this smart. I had to look it up in one of the big concordances. 103 times it says, fear not, in the Bible. 103 times it says fear not, more than anything else. It says fear not. Jesus Himself said fear not. Amen. Y'all remember that? He said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. You ain't got nothing to worry about. Fear not. And 103 times. Now, every one of us is going to face battles. Every one of us. Every one of us is going to fear what other people are talking about while we're going through that battle. Everybody in here is going to have battles. Hey, look, if you're saved, you're going to battle your flesh. And you're going to battle the world. And you're going to battle temptation. You're going to battle the devil himself sometime in his crowd. You're going to battle those. And sometimes while you're battling, you're going to get defeated and you're going to fall. And while you're battling and while you're falling and getting up and falling and getting up, the old devil's going to have you fearing what other people are saying about you and what they think about you. When Jesus said, fear not, 103 times, He said, fear not. Now, during trials, here's what we need to remember. During those battles, we need to remember this. 1 John 5:4, the second part of that verse says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The victory is not what other people are saying about you. Quit worrying about what other people say about you. By the way, watch them long enough, they're going to battle and fall too. Help me. I remember one Sunday I preached on that verse, 1 John 5:4b, and I preached on having the victory over sin and people judging you because you fall and get up and you fall and get up. And I didn't tell everybody, but I had I done ordered a bunch of, I ain't got to be a, it was mirrors about that big. And I had them wrapped up in a piece of paper, wrapped them myself. and had the ushers give them out at the beginning of my sermon. And I said, I don't want nobody to open that until I tell you to. And I preached on what I'm talking about right now. And I said, now let me tell you something. You ain't got no right to be talking bad about other people. You got no right to be judging them in the middle of a storm. You don't know what they're going through, what's happening in life. You ought to pray for them, love them, encourage them. I said, your biggest problem is in that piece of paper I gave you. Open it up. And every one of them opened it up and they looked at themselves, started laughing. I said, what you laughing at? You the one you ought to be worried about. You ought to quit looking at everybody else. Start looking at yourself. Ain't some of y'all got no mirror in your house? Amen. We fear what people, so we don't do anything. And then we get out of church because, see, Brother Ron, when we fail during a battle with the devil, the flesh, the devil, the world, and sometimes we'll fail and we'll fall. And look, all we got to do is confess our sin, get back up, and get going again. But even when we do that, we think, and here's what the devil will do. The old devil will come to you and he'll get on his shoulder and he'll say, boy, you'll try something. This is good. And you say, but it's wrong. And the devil says, but it's good. And you say, but it's wrong. And he said, but it's pleasant to the eyes and it's pleasant to the taste. And it'll give you knowledge. You'll have a good time. You'll know more. And go ahead. Ain't nobody going to know. So you fall and you battle that thing. Then you fall. Then he gets over here and he says, I'm going to tell everybody down at church about you. And next time you go to church, you're going to walk down that aisle, and everybody in there is going to be talking about you because they're going to know what you did. Ain't that right? And see, that's the fear that we have. We have a fear, and so we get out of church because we fear what other people think about us. Now, let me tell you something right now. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I'd rather have somebody that fell and got back up and fell and got back up and fell and got back up. A good man falls 7 times. I'd rather see somebody fall and get back up and keep coming to church anyway than to see some hypocrite that claims they never fall and they come to church and they don't do a stinking thing but talk bad about other people. It ain't none of your business what she's wearing. Pray for her. If you want to have a dress, find out her size, go buy her one. It ain't none of your business whether he smells like Winston or Marlboro. Hey, pray for him. Give him some Nicorette. Amen? 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 Some of y'all act like you didn't like that, but that's all right. Don't give him no red man. That don't help. Listen. But look, Satan turns people away by causing them to fall. He'll get you out of church because he's the one that caused you to fall in the first place. He can't overtake us because we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're winners, folks. Would y'all get this through your head? You cannot be a failure and be a child of God. Your destination is already determined. You're already a winner. Already. You're already in the winner's circle. Go back and read Ephesians. It says, ye hath he seated in heavenly places. As far as God's concerned, you're already there. You're a winner. But the old devil, he'll try to overtake you, and he'll encourage us in our faults. And those faults, now he didn't do it. The fault led you to fall. I heard Jason Coley said this one time, one of the wisest things he ever said. He said, he was just preaching. He said, you know what? You wouldn't have done it if it wasn't already in you. You already had that fault in you. That's why Jesus said, hey, a man don't have to commit adultery. If he looks long enough, he's going to do it in his heart anyway. You see, it's what's in the man. It's what's in the person. The abundance of the heart. That's where it's all at. And the old devil, see, he'll find out where your fault is. Remember, fault's a crack that divides things. And he'll find out what your fault is, and then he'll start jabbing it, jabbing it, jabbing it, and jabbing it, and jabbing it. And look, he can't cause you to fall, but he can sure bring your fault out every chance. Well, I'm sorry, I just got a bad temper. No, that's your fault, and the devil knows it, and you just told him, and you're going to end up getting in a fight with somebody at church or something and get you out of church. Y'all see what I'm saying? Well, I'm not gossiping. I'm just spreading information. Gossiping is your problem, and the devil just heard it, and he's going to give you some information, and it's going to end up getting you in a fuss. You're going to get out of church. Amen? And then here's something else. By causing the flea or to fold or to faint. That's my three F's. He'll call. Look, he gets people out of church by causing them to flee from the church or fold up their abilities and their talents or fall by the wayside, faint. Now, nobody likes to fight. Now, y'all hear me up here preaching. I'll preach, scream, holler, spit. And y'all think the old preacher, he's a fighter. I'll walk a mile to avoid a fight. I don't like to fight. I hate confrontation. I hate it. People get mad at me because I won't fuss with them. I don't want to fuss. I hate it. Sometimes you have to. Sometimes there's got to be some righteous indignation. Something's got to be said. But most of the time, most of us, we avoid a fight. And if you don't watch out, you'll get in church and the old devil will put somebody there at odds with you and it'll cause you to flee church because you don't want to fight with them. Now let me give you some information. If there's somebody wanting to fight with you, send them to me. Amen. I won't fight with them. I won't fight with them. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I won't fight with them. You just send them to me. Or Rudy, send them Rudy. He'll tell them. Now he's a lot quieter about it than I am, but he'll tell them. Now you listen to me. You don't have to flee this place because you don't have anybody to fear here. And if people and people have come in that tried to make other people fear them, and they're not here any longer. We want the ones that cause the fear to flee. We don't want the ones that are fearful to flee. Amen? Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that plain enough? Amen. All right. And then look, some of them, they're going to fold. They're going to give in to it. They're just going to give in. And they're not going to be able to take it. They're not going to be able to take pressure. They're not going to be able to take change. And they're going to just fold it up. And they're going to say, I'm not going back to church. I'm just going to stay at home and watch somebody on television. They're going to fold. And that's what the devil wants them to do. And then sometimes there's constant trouble at home from your friends, from your family, from your work, from your school, and all of them don't want you. Every one of them wants you out of church. There's lost people everywhere you go, and every one of them, whether it's family, friends, or work, or school, or wherever, they'll do their dead level best to get you out of church. And if you don't watch out, you'll faint, meaning you'll give up and you'll give in. I've known women do that because their husbands wasn't saved and wouldn't go to church when finally they just threw up their hands and quit. They just feel like there's no hope. So they just faint. They just give up. Let me tell you something. The greatest things that will ever happen to you are in the middle of a battle that's trying to get you out of the will of God and out of church. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. It's 4 minutes till. I might make it. I know some of y'all got kids. You got to get them into bed. Proverbs 20, verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That means weak. Your strength, you're weak. And it may be you're weary is because you're weak, because you're weary, because you've been fighting so long. Here's what you need to do. Stop fighting. If they want to run down to church, don't say nothing. Just let them run it down. Walk on. If they want to criticize people, listen. Just let them do it. That's Proverbs 24:10. Y'all got to get one of them easy Bibles like I got. And I got mine marked. But look here. Don't faint. Don't faint. What does Isaiah 40:31, some of y'all could quote it to me. Isaiah 40:31, he said, you'll mount up like on wings of eagles, and you'll renew your strength. If you'll just what? Wait on the Lord. You see, it may be next week that husband would have got saved if she hadn't quit. It may have been next Sunday that rebellious teenager would have come to church and got right with God if daddy hadn't quit. Y'all still with me? It may be that one in that Sunday school class would have got saved and got right with God and got excited about serving the Lord and filled it up for that Sunday school teacher if they just waited one more week, one more Sunday. Don't faint. Don't give up. That's what the devil does. He tries to get you to flee or fold or to faint. And then last but not least, he gets people out of the local church by causing them to follow the wrong ones. The wrong ones. Now listen to this. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. You can get mad at me. You wouldn't be the first one who got mad over what I'm fixing to say. Not every Christian is to be followed. There's a lot of Christians you ought not have anything to do with. They may be saved and on their way to heaven, but they're not good for you. You don't need to follow those people. Amen? And I see a lot of nodding heads. You know some of them, don't you? Amen? Did you know that not every church member is to be followed? There's people come to this church. I love everybody walks in that door, and I'm not talking bad about nobody, but there's adults and children that come to this church that you ought not follow. They may be trying to get right with God, I don't know, but right now it don't appear. There's church members you don't need to follow. Well, we had one time to start writing mean, hateful letters to Rudy, our deacon, and not signing them, doing anonymous. Now, that's a coward right there, anonymous. And doing it like those crazy people where they cut out letters and paste them on the paper and all that stuff. You remember that, Rudy? We couldn't figure out who in the world was writing, and they'd say all kind of bad things about him, write them to him, and my goodness, I thought, who? And the person I thought it was not. It turned out to be somebody I never would have dreamed it was. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, it was a female, and I didn't call him, my wife did. And you don't want my wife to call you. Needless to say, you don't need to follow. It was jealousy, all jealousy. And needless to say, you don't need to follow church members like that. Now, you don't have to come running and tell me everything, but you got enough Christian sense to look around church and talk to people and get to know people and know, well, I love that one, but I got to love them at a distance. Amen. Because I can't hang around with that one because they'll get me out of church. Because pretty soon, you'll see them and listen to them, you'll get to thinking that everybody else in the church is like they are. And the old devil, he'll, boy, I tell you what. Did you not know not every preacher, pastor, or evangelist you should follow? Not everyone. Just because they say they're a preacher don't mean a stinking thing no more. Just because they say they're a pastor. Just because they're some evangelist. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You don't need to follow them. That's all I'm going to say about that. I got to hurry. Did you know that not every new Christian organization ought to be followed? It'll get you out of church. There are Christian organizations that... I'll give you a good example. I know he ain't going to hear me because he won't listen to me because he wouldn't even talk to me. There's a man that works for the Christian Broadcasting 700 Club. He works for him. He writes programs and stuff for him. I can take it to his house. He never darkens the doors of a church. And he's in the leadership of that organization. When was the last time that organization ever told you to go to a church and gave the name of the church to go to? When was the last time that organization ever said, don't send us your money, send it to the local church? No, sir. Not every Christian organization needs you to follow them. Amen? I got to hurry, I can tell. Hebrews 13:7, last verse, Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Considering the end of their conversation. I've told you before, that old English word conversation means more than what you say. It means what you do. Lifestyle. You can put that the way they live. Now, he said you listen to them what they're preaching, but you observe what they're living. Not every Christian, so-called preacher, pastor, evangelist, organization, church member needs to be followed. And then... I'm going to stop on this. I'm not through. Don't think I'm through. Did you know that he gets them out of local church by calling them to feel, making them feel like they can't trust? No, he makes them feel, okay? And you can't trust your feelings. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitfully wicked. No man can know it. Well, Pastor, if I know my heart, you don't. And I don't know mine. Tomorrow you may, in a fit of anger, cut somebody's head off. You don't know. You don't know your heart. It's only by the grace of God you're under control now. You ain't no better than anybody in jail. Hey, the only reason some of us are in jail, we just didn't get caught. Amen. And God saved us and changed us. But let me tell you something. That stuff's still down in there. If you go by your feelings, you're going to mess up. Don't go by your feelings. Well, I felt like I loved him. He's a drunk. He's a drug addict. He beat his first wife and abused his children. But I love him. He's a nice guy. He's a devil. Don't go by your feelings. Leave that guy alone unless he gets saved, you know. Amen. Well, preacher, if I just feel like I love her. No, you're probably lusting after her. Men go by what they see. Women go by what they hear. Women want to hear something sweet. Men want to see something sweet. That's about as far as I can go with that. Amen. Listen, you can't trust your feelings. So here's what happens. He gets them out of church because they feel offended. Did you hear what he said about those people at Walmart? I go to Walmart all the time. He must be talking about me. If the shoe fits, wear it. You can't trust your feelings. Some people are easily offended. They carrying a stinking chip on their shoulder and they just begging for somebody to knock it off so they can get mad. I better go. They get out of church because they feel hurt. Is that thing on? They feel hurt. Let me tell you something. I've been hurt everywhere I ever went. I got hurt the other day at Walmart. I went up there with two water hoses, and the fella said something about one of them. They had 50 feet written on, but he said, those are really 100 feet. I said, well, I don't need 200 feet. I bought two because I need 100 feet. I said, just take one of them off my ticket. He said, I can't. I said, void it. He said, I can't. I said, I'm standing right here. That's my credit card on that ticket. Take one of those off. Void it. We'll start all over. What are you going to do? Can't. You got to go to customer service and get that done. I said, I didn't buy these at customer service. I bought them right back there on that rack. If I go around yonder, there are 40 people wanting to redeem stuff and get their money back. I'm going to be standing up there an hour waiting, and my feet hurt already. Take it off my ticket. He said, I can't. I stormed up there, and I waited in line for half an hour, and I told that woman up there, I said, I would not buy at Walmart if I didn't live right behind your stinking store. You walk from my house to Walmart. I said, y'all don't know what to do. You not train these people how to run a cash register? I said, I could have done it if he'd let me. They hurt my feelings because you know what? She didn't care. She just looked at me like, oh, well, you're another one. You got offended at work, but you liked the paycheck. You kept going. Amen. Mama offended you, but you kept on eating those hamburgers she cooked. Amen. Listen, we've all been offended. We've all been hurt. Everybody in this room has been hurt by somebody. If you're over 10 or 12 years old, and some younger than that has been hurt. Life is full of hurts. Get used to it. And sometimes you're going to go to church and people's going to hurt your feelings. You know what you need to do? You need to put on your big boy britches and get over it. You got hurt. All right? That's wonderful. Forgive them. Tell them you forgive them. Tell them they hurt you. Forgive them and go on. And you say, well, I can't go to church and look at them. Sit at the front. Brother Ron don't have to look at anybody that's ever hurt his feelings. That's why he sits up here. There ain't no distractions up here. Amen. People get mad and they sit at the back and they look at the back of the head of the person that hurt them and they relive that thing over and over and over every Sunday till they finally get out of church. And then some of them say, well, I'm leaving church because I feel led to go somewhere else. You know, that's the biggest excuse. It's a lie. They leave him because they got their feelings hurt, or because they got offended, or because the pastor talked about something they didn't like, or they thought somebody was talking about them that wasn't talking about them. And so they feel led. But you know, the sad thing is, when they feel led to leave, go somewhere else, they hardly ever go anywhere else. You'll find them all over this town. Come on, preacher, is that true? Well, I used to go. You say, are you a member of church? Yeah, Cornerstone Baptist Church. Ron Rye is my pastor. I told somebody earlier tonight, I said, went up your couple, was months ago now, knocked on the door, and this young man came to the door I did not know, and I introduced myself, and I heard a woman in the back say, oh, that's Pastor Roddy, Pastor Roddy, Pastor Roddy. Come run up there, pushed him out of the way, wrapped around my neck, and she said, this is my pastor, this is my pastor. And when she got through and she backed up, I looked at that boy, I said, I may be her pastor, but I ain't seen her in over 2 years. I said, where you been? Well, we've been having troubles. I said, if you'd come to church, I could have helped you. I said, why is it when you have troubles, you separate yourself from the people that would encourage you? I said, that ain't it. You didn't come to church because you didn't want to. You do what you want to. Amen. And then she said, he's right. He's right. He's always right. That's my pastor. But let me tell you something. The devil will do whatever he can to get you out of church. Most everybody here got saved in church. Most of you got saved in church. Now, a few of you didn't, but most of you. And if it hadn't been for a local church and somebody was faithful to it, witnessing to you, you wouldn't have got saved. Now, look, don't let the devil defeat you. That's a good crowd for Wednesday night. I'm proud of you. But we got some people out right now the devil's working on. And you know what the rest of you'll do? You'll just surround that person when they come in. You'll say, man, we missed you. We've been praying for you. Can I help you? You need anything? Amen? The other week, I went by KFC. I knew a family in church was struggling. I hadn't seen them in a couple of weeks. And I went by KFC, and I got a 20-piece bucket of chicken. Now, if that won't cheer you up, there ain't nothing in the world. And I took it over and I, oh, Pastor Ron, thank you for coming to see us. I said, I brought you some lunch. Man, they dove in that thing. And they was back at church that Sunday. Now look, don't let the devil, this is what you need, see. Don't get discouraged. Encourage one another. Love one another. Let's stand. Father.